Philippians chapter 3, I read once again from verse 13. Brethren, I cannot myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. I started talking to us a few weeks ago, and so I think I did dive 3 or dive 4, about a deeper walk with God. Let me reiterate that the essence of our living actually is to walk with God. That's the essence. Let me reiterate that. The essence of our existence is so that we can have a deeper walk, so that we can have a better knowledge, so that we can have a deeper revelation of God. Your life, like I said to us last week, your life desire, your eternal aspiration is actually to be like Him. That's the essence God has gotten hold of you. That's the essence of the church. So that we can become like Him. Any other thing that you run after, they are outside the call of God. They are outside the desire of God for your life. When you run after God, when you desire Him, when you set your life to seek Him, every other thing will be added. I've read to us copiously from Matthew chapter 6, 33. One thing He said of you, He says, seek ye first. That's the first. And whatever God says is first in God's agenda. It should not be first in your own agenda, you know, alone. Actually, God has said, seek ye first. That means that Him is even His own agenda. You don't understand that. You know what the Bible says? It says, even my own word I've exalted above my name. In other words, one of the things that God sees in heaven to do is to see that His word come to pass. He watches over the world. In other words, the first desire of God Himself is His word. And so, if you are a child of God and you want to live purpose, your first desire is to have revelation of God's word. It's not only to read God's word. It's not only to know about God. It's to know God. There's a difference knowing about Him and knowing Him. The call for our life is to know Him, not to know about Him. The call for our life is not to know His works, but to know Him. The call of our lives is not to know about what He can do, but for you to know who He is. A lot of us are particular about the things He can do. A lot of us are particular about what we can get. A lot of us are particular about His word, but we don't have the knowledge of Him. You are called to know Him. You are called to have a revelation of Him. You are called, you know, to be able to say, I know this is God. That is the essence. And that's why we gather. That's the reason for the church. Even though preachers have turned the essence of the church to some other things, I call you back home, ladies and gentlemen. The essence of our life is to know Him. When you know Him, every other thing will come your way. As a matter of fact, we lack because we don't know Him. As a matter of fact, we are in need because we don't know Him. We struggle because we don't know Him. When you know Him, every other thing will come. And that's why I call you to a deeper walk. I call you to a deeper walk with God. A greater desire for God. A greater yearning for God. Seek to know Him. When you know Him, you will love Him. When you know Him, you will serve Him. You know you want to serve God. You can't serve God that you don't know. Praise God. And you can't serve the man that you don't know acceptably. You need to know Him so that you can serve Him acceptably. You need to know Him so that you can love Him. And that is why the call to die is called to know. I challenge us to know Him. And that's why we're looking into the life of Paul. It is astonishing. It is intriguing. And it is demanding for believers. When Paul, that has done so much, is speaking in Philippians, he said, I haven't known Him. That is staggering. That is a standard. He said, I don't know him. I want to know him. And he's written so much. He's had revelations. He's been stoned because of him. He's been neglected because of him. He's gone to minor Asia. He's gone to major Asia. He's spoken to the Gentiles. And he's coming here. He said, oh boy, I don't know him. I want to know him. Let me say something to you, ladies and gentlemen. The more of Jesus you know, the more you discover that you need to know much more of him that you know. And that's what he's saying here. He said, the more I know him, the more I discover that I haven't known him. The more I know him, the more I discover that I still need to know him. You can know him enough. The more you know, you find out that you still need to know about what you've just known. The more discoveries you make, you find out that you still need to discover some more. The lifelong aspiration of a believer is to become him. Did you get that? The lifelong aspiration of a believer is to become him, not to become like him. Is to become him. That's why God has given ministers, he's given the pastor, he's given the teacher, he's given the prophet, so that we can become. Praise God. That is the essence. You know, he's giving the purpose so that we can become. I want us to move from the seat of the seats, where we come to church to use God. Where we come to church to get our needs met. All those things are part of the church. But ladies and gentlemen, those are not the primary reason for the church. I've said to us severally behind this pulpit, if are things that you need, you don't need to come to church. If there are things that you need, you have other alternatives. But if it's Jesus that you need, then you need to come to church. Because Jesus, you cannot have by any other means. You can have your need met by every other means, but you can never have salvation done by any other means. I call us to quit sitting on the fence. A lot of believers are sitting on the fence. When the opinion is good, you move to this side. When the opinion is contrary, you move to this side. We cannot know you for nothing. You are not committed to nothing. You want to do the world a little, look like them, and then you want to look like him. Die, he's saying, make up your mind. Whose you want to belong and whom you want to be. Make up your mind. You will lose on this side and you will lose on this side. You have to get into a camp. And I'm inviting you to get into the camp of the Lord. Die, he's saying, quit compromising. We compromise our faith. We compromise our decisions. We compromise the way we walk. We compromise our service with the Lord. You serve him when it is convenient. When the tide, you know, is turned, then you do some other things. Die is making sacrifice. The walk with God is a walk of sacrifice. The moment you say you are born again, that's the moment you quit your rights. That's the moment you quit your will. That's the moment you quit your plan. That's the moment you quit your desire. You know, life means give it up and let him take control. We are too allowed and God cannot use us. We are too alive and then we are not relevant for the kingdom. God is not interested in loud people. God is not interested in alive people. God is interested in dead people. Your life that is put on the table. God will never use a soul that is struggling. We are full of struggles. We are full of desires. We are full of ways and lives And yet you say, "Je my Lord." Go and listen again, you know, to that, my sermon. I say, let him be the Lord. A lot of us is our Savior, but it's not yet our Lord. Dive. He's saying, let him be your Lord. Let him be your Lord. Jesus had two categories of followers. He had the followers. He had, you know, his disciples. God will begin to take you serious when you become a disciple. Oh, being a follower, you're welcome. But followers, they turn around when things are tough. Jesus said to the apostles, said, they've gone when I stop giving food. You know, we are giving food every Sunday here. You know? And then, I said, let's stop giving food for a while. You know? And then some people disappeared. And Jesus said to the apostles, we are not giving food again. You people too, do you want to go? Listen to what one of them said. He said, where? That's why I like that song now. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. It's late. Where do I want to go now? Since age 19. Where do I want to go? What alternative? Now, if I go to be a pastor, I'll be awkward. You know, one day I never been to a club. I said, let me go to a club. So one day I was in Abuja. I said, let me go to a club. So 8 p.m., I just went to one club. I don't know the name. They said, check club. Well, already said there's club. I just went there. And when I got in there, you know, two things I discovered. So when I got in there, I saw all kinds of people. I saw kind of drinks. I was seeing drinks, one cup, 80,000. Because, I mean, what am I going to do? I saw all kinds of everything. You know? And I say, they say a big man has come. I now look around. You know? I saw one drink. You know, one cup like that. I say, give me that juice. When they give me the juice and everything, they say 5,000. Money were over more time of person. You understand that? So I just took my cup. You know, and then I left. So I was talking to somebody. He said, I went very early. Lagomejo. He said, we are going to club. Be agomewa, agomokanla, agotintintini, yamanlo. Now, if I want to quit, is that the place that I was like a stranger? But he said, tole sumami. Because even the way I dress, not the way they dress there. You understand that? So where do I want to go to? Where do I want to go to? Dive is a call to commitments. Burn the bridges. That's what I said. He said, Jesus, where are we going? We left the father. We left the mother. They call us SU. They say, if you leave, oh, don't come back. Oh. So where will we go? But a lot of us, we carry our alternatives. And that's why Christianity is not paying us. The way we do it, if Jesus is getting too strong, they understand? Jesus is a crutch. And then you have another, you know, crutches that you carry. And so when Jesus is getting too you cannot say, let me do something next. A life of alternatives can never be a life of hope. A life of alternatives can never be a life of purpose. Bridges must be burnt. Decisions must be made. And that is why Christianity is a call to decision. Decisions are made. Conscious decisions. Deliberate decisions are made. That's what Paul is saying. Look at his CV from verse 5. He said, we are talking about circumcision. No, let me, from 4, he said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, In other words, you know, he was talking about people that have confidence in the flesh. He was talking about people that have, you know, all the certificates, the people that have all the connections in the world, the big people. He said, look, if you're talking about that, he said, I too can have confidence in the flesh. Who are they? You know, you have people in the church today. They want to be put, you know, at the front seats. Paul sitting at the back seats. He looked at them at the front seat. He looked at the people that were demanding for honor. He said, look at them. Now, he's like, he went to meet the pastor of the church. He said, pastor, let me tell you something. You and I also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he had whereof, he might trust in the flesh. He said, hi, more. He said, I'm going to go. So topic salmon. He said, if that is the thing, he said, I have more. He said, pastor, let me tell you. I can intimidate you in this church. Like people want to intimidate me with English now. He said, I'm more. He said, we are talking about circumcision. I was circumcised the 8th day. Then I'm of the stock of Israel. I'm not just anybody. If I'm preaching, you know, to the Gentiles, they understand that I know where I came from. Oh, all the other apostles, they were preaching to the Jews. He said, I make a choice by the call of God upon my life, you know, to preach to the Gentiles. But I am an Israelite, a bona fide of the tribe of Benjamin. Some of you here, if I say, he said, which one is your family? You know, like some of you down from Ibadan. He said, Ibolokoyi, one Ibodija. But say here, he said, I'm just living in Alalubosa. But I am of the tribe of Benjamin, boy. He said, I'm an Hebrew of the Hebrews. I studied the law, a Pharisee. In other words, I am an Essahan. If you're talking about the law. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law. I'm blameless. I've seen everything. But see what he said. I burned the bridges. I tore the certificates. I gave up all the connections. This CV, I know what it can bring me. This CV, I know what it will attract. This CV, I know where it can get me to. I know the doors it can open. He said, but no, we've gone beyond that. We've gone beyond that. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. I counted them loss. Called to die is what are the things you counted loss for Christ. Look at me, ladies and gentlemen. Christianity is a call to trading home. What are you traded on? Praise God. It's a call to trade off. What have you traded off? Some of you, you're giving your life to Christ, but you want to look the way you were looking before. You're giving your life to Christ, you want to maintain the circle of friends that you have. You're giving your life to Christ, you want to still do the things that you were doing before. What are you trading? What has Christ taken from you? If you believe that, must you say, for the sake of Christ, that Paul was saying here, for the sake of Christ, I let go. What is it that you let go? I said, I'm born again, no, but you see, this one, me, I still be doing it. It's my Savior, but it's not my Lord. Dive is saying, get him to be your Lord. And I started looking into how that Paul, you know, got into the deep end. Until you get into the deep end of the river, your life will not amount. Until you get to the deep end of the river, is when you want to have a big catch. I said that to you. Big catch is made in the deep end. You can't get big fish when you are fishing in the narrow end. You just get shallow end. You don't have the big fish, the one that will bring money. You don't have it. You will go to the deep end. And you see the people that fish in the deep end, you know the first character they have, patience and long-suffering. Go and ask the people that fish. They can sit on their watch for 12 hours. But deep end, you don't need patience. just put your hook there. It will give you a KK in a few minutes. It will give you, you know, even it will give you some troubles. You understand? A few minutes. You want big cash. And that's why I'm calling us. You want a big catch, you get to the deep end of the river. The people that swim, they know to swim. They don't swim in narrow end, in shallow end. They go to the deep end. It's the deep end that the water take over. Let the Spirit take over your life. A life that is not controlled by the Spirit is not a life that will fulfill purpose. And that much Paul was telling us. And I say, how did he get into the deep end? I started by giving us some points last week. I said the first point that we see from the life of Paul was the kind of mind that he had. And I say all of us must be this minded. If you really want your life to amount, you must have the mind, you know, that Paul had. Number two, that I said to us last week, I said Paul recognized that his life was a growing concern. He said, I'm not yet there, but my life is a work in progress. And I said to you last week that your life, and I said, this church is work in progress. There's none of us that is there yet. As big as Paul was, he was not there yet. He said, I know one thing, that I'm not there, but God is working on me. Say to your neighbor, God is working on you. It is critical for every believer to know that God is working on you. I don't care your color. I don't care your look. I don't care the challenges you're facing. I don't care whether you backslide today, you get up tomorrow. I don't care whether you did one stupid thing yesterday, you know. But the most important thing, ladies and gentlemen, is that God is working on your life. And what I want to have this morning is allow him. The trouble is if you did not allow him. God is molding us. God is shaping us. But he's shaping us with pain. Like I said to us 2 weeks ago, when you see a doctor that wants to correct an anomaly inside a patient, he has to tear. He has to cut. That process is a painful process. But he needs to do that cutting so that he can make that correction. God adjusting us to whom we are supposed to be, we will suffer some pain. But the challenge we all have is that we don't want to go through that pain. You want to be better, but you don't want to suffer. Like I was telling us a few weeks back, I said that if you want the Lord to be glorified in your life, you want to see him honor you, then you must be ready for trouble. Because he said, when you're in trouble, he's there with you. When you really want to feel his presence, brother, get into some trouble. When you want to see his deliverance and have some testimony, look for some trouble and get into it. He want to him glorified you. Look for some trouble and get into it. When you want a change in your life, be ready for the knife. Say to your neighbor, be ready for the knife. And so your life is in progress. And number three that I started talking about, I say focus. And I want to round up that, you know, today. Focus. And I said to us three things that Paul was talking about. When he said focus, you can see it in verse 13. Number one, he said you focus on a person. Number two, you focus on the prize. Number three, you focus on the people. And the first thing he spoke about is he focus on a person. Christians don't focus on things. Christians don't focus on people. You first of all focus on Christ. Listen to this statement I'm going to make. Our life should be God people. I'm not saying our life should be God's people. Our life should be God people. In other words, you have God first and then you impact life. It is a disorder when your focus is on people but not on God first. You will see people based on your knowledge of Christ. You will see your environment based on your revelation of Christ. And that's why the first focus of Paul was Christ himself. He said that I may know him. And I spoke to us about four different dimensions of God that he was yearning to know. And I call us to know that. He said, I want to have a personal experience. That was the first dimension of Christ that he wanted to know. I want to have a personal experience that I may know him. And I said to people here, yeah, your life begins when you have an encounter with him. You must be born again. That is when your race begins. That's when your life begins. Your life amounts to nothing when you don't have Jesus in that life. The beginning of your race, the beginning of purpose, is to have Jesus in your boat. You must be born again. And after being born again, then there's on that level of knowing. Praise God. But the basic is for you to have Jesus. So if you're here this morning, you're not born again. Ensure that you give your life to Jesus before you leave, because that's when your destiny begins. He said that I will have a personal experience. Not only that, he said that we know his power. So I don't want to have a personal experience of him alone. I want to have an experience of his power. I want to have a personal experience. I want to have, you know, a power experience. He said, because that we know the power of his resurrection. When I know him, I will know his power. Not only do I want to know him, not only do I want to know his power, he said, I want to have the fellowship of his suffering. In other words, a painful experience. When you want to know Jesus, you must be ready for a robust knowledge of Jesus. That's when you have his revelation. He said, I want to have not only, you know, a personal experience, not powerful experience, not painful experience, but a practical one. When he's talking about being conformable unto his death, I want to know him. The more of Christ you know, the more you discover you need to know him more, much more than you know of him. The second thing he focused on is he focused on the price. There's an interesting scripture here. I didn't want to read it before, but I just bring a point there that is relevant to Philippians chapter 3, because that in itself is another sermon on its own. But let's see 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, very quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run hard, but one receives the prize? We are called to know him, so that we can have a prize. You're called to discover so that you can run your race with a view to having your prize. You're called to discover him so that you can discover your race, that ultimately you will get a prize. That's the secret. If you did not have a revelation of him, you'll not be able to run your race. Discovering of him is discovery of purpose. Purpose is not discovered until him is discovered. When you discover him, then you know the race you need to run. And that's why I said to people, a life that does not know Jesus is a life in waste. A life that does not know Jesus is a destiny in waste. And you're born again and you don't have a revelation of him, your life ultimately will be a waste, because you will know the race you run. You know, the Bible says, he said, I fight, Paul speaking again, he said, not as the one fighting the air. A lot of us Christians are fighting the air. Last week I was talking to us about, you know, an animal running after another animal. And then, why is it running after another animal? For example, you know, a tiger running after a deer, and then he had the scent of a mouse. He left, started running after the mouse. No, the rabbit. And then, from running after the rabbit, he now say, oh, there's a mouse. He start running after the mouse. The mouse enter into a hole. He cannot enter into the hole. So at the end of the day, what has happened is lost all. And so we end up being hungrier than when he started chasing the animal, because it was not focused. Focus is the factor that makes you to discover. When you have all the professors, you have doctors, they become consultants, it's focus. Somebody becomes a professor of molecular biology. There's biology. You have BSc biology. When you are reading masters in biology, you don't have masters in biology. I hope you know that. You have masters and aspect of biology. And then when you want to do PhD, you go ahead and again focus on an aspect of biology. So when you say a professor of pharmacy, that's a general word. It's not a professor of pharmacy. It can be a professor of micronutrients or professor of pharmacy. So you have a professor of molecular biology. You have a professor of, you won't say a professor of maths. There'll be a professor of statistics, Jingoism. In other words, there's a broad look, and then there's a focus on an aspect. And that's why I said to Ross, you know, I think 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, I said every Christian is called to become a professor. Every Christian. You must focus on the aspect of God until you come to know who Jesus is. You can't afford to be, you are doing this, you are doing that, No. You can't get there. A lot of us Christians are distracted. You are the one that wants to sing. You are the one that wants to hush up. You are the one that wants to clean the seat. You know that everything you are doing in the house of God, but you won't amount to anything. At a stage in your life, you are doing about 5 things. After a while, you focus. You begin to do 4 things. After a while, you become more focused. You begin to do 3 things. After a while, you be more focused. You begin to do 2 things. And then, you spend your life on it. That's the way we know him. That's the way we grow, you know, in him. And so I run, so that I can get a prize. And in Philippians chapter 3, the same thing he's saying here. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize. He said, number one, I want to know the person. You know, I talked to Ross about 3 P's last week. I want to know the person. I want to know the price. I want to know the people. And so I know the person. Then, from knowing the person, I want to focus on the price for the purpose that the person has commissioned me. When you know the person, you'll be commissioned for a purpose. I know this is a very spiritual message, but you need to listen to it. I'm not talking to you about what you will get. In the process of running purpose, let me say this to you. Look at me, ladies and gentlemen. When you get an employment, they will say you've been employed as a manager of a company. They will now say things that will make the work of the manager easier. They can say there's an accommodation. But nobody says they employ you and say accommodation. For what? So you will have an employment. You will have job description. They will say, we are going to give you a house. Because of the work, you know that some employment, they give you some benefits that you must not reject. You don't have any choice. Somebody said, we have for you a duplex in the company. Because of the kind of job, they can't afford that you live outside. And then some will say, we are giving you a car. You know, for certain office, They will not give you saloon. They will give you a jeep. You know why? Because that office is the face of the company. So, to them, it's not a luxury for you. Olomoto, the first employment, Olo jeep. You may say, if you me, I want rob home and let me. You know, do you understand that because of the commission, that is the type. I know of a church. When they employ you as a pastor, they employ you as a level of a pastor. So they tell you that we pay for your accommodation, but your accommodation, you know, that we pay for is no more than 400,000. So you'll not be looking for house in Bodija, isn't it? You can't look for house in Onireke. No matter how you love Bodija or Onireke, do you understand? You begin to look for house in. Then, when you get promoted, they cannot say to you now that go and look for accommodation, 1 million. Do you understand that? You know that you begin to move from you begin to move. Then, when you get to a level, they can say 5 million. You now can begin to come to you cannot become hey. Some of them they say we give you these other things that we give the office comfort. The same way is the purpose of God. Is you must discover the purpose first before all other things can come. And that is why he warned you. He said the first thing you must seek is the purpose. He said when you get the purpose, every other thing will be added. You know the greatest thing that comes with discovering a purpose? You don't know it. You want to know it this morning. The greatest thing that comes with discovering a purpose is preservation of life. It's preservation of life. When purpose is discovered, your life is preserved. That is the greatest. And that is why a Christian must discover purpose. I can't stand here to tell you all the reasons why a believer dies. That would be wrong of me. But one thing that I know will keep a believer is when purpose is discovered. God will keep you because he knows that the two of you has a deal. There's a race that is running and is running it effectively. One of the things that cut short the life of a believer is when a believer, you know, moves out of purpose. That's one of the things. I can tell you that. God will just see that he's no longer relevant to the kingdom. And we don't want to lose him. He's no longer relevant, but he must not go to hell. A young girl, That's it. He calls you home out of love. But when your life is relevant, when you have some men of God clocking 80, 90, you think it's because they are eating well and they are doing exercise, you know? We have people that do exercise more than they do. We have people that watch their diets more than they do. You don't know, meme. Purpose preserves. When he sees that you are still relevant, you are running purpose. You know what he does? Again, he can expand the purpose. He said, this one is faithful to the call. This one is faithful to the call. And when they get to a certain level, you bring one of their children, he continue in the state. That's what purpose does. It preserves. And that's what Paul is saying here. He said, after I've discovered that, then I focus on the price. Let me tell you three ways he focus on the price. Because it's the price that is most important. Hebrews chapter 11 or 12, I suppose. He said, because of the glory that was set ahead of him. Verse 2, Jesus. He said, because of the glory. In other words, because of the price that was set ahead of him. He focused on the price. He said, despise the shame. What is shame? He despises. The price is greater than the shame. The price is greater than the pain. The price is greater than the comforts. You know, some people, when they have some comfort, they veer away from purpose. They veer away. It was Kenneth Hagin that was saying he had a crusade, you know, in a man's church. And the man said, come home, let's eat. And when they were praying, the man started crying. And Kenneth Hagin said, boy, why are you crying? You know, because he's a rich man in that church. So when a minister comes, he holds them. They eat in his house. Very successful in business. Very successful in life. But he opened up to Kenneth Hagin. He said, Pastor Hagin, what you are doing was what God called me to do. I ran away from it. That is how heavy purpose is. God did not stop him from being successful in what, listen, in what and the way he chose from himself. God never stopped him. And that's why the preaching of the grace, you should tremble. The grace was there for him. He was making money. By the time he discovered, it was late. At that age, will he begin to do evangelism that Kenneth Hagin did for many years? From evangelist to becoming a pastor, you know, to becoming a prophet? What was he going to start from? He will live the rest of his days full of regrets, even though he had money. So people outside will be looking at him, a very rich man. But he'll be looking at himself, a very poor man. Because you're a poor man when you get out of the purpose of God. You're a poor man. And that's why I say to people that run from one nation to the other, be sure that it's God. Be sure that it's not things that is making you to run. Because you will veer away from the price and your life will come a waste. So I focus on the price. He said, one of the ways I focus on the price, I forget the things that are past. In other words, the first way he focused on the price is he learned forgiveness. In other words, he knows how to deal with the past. And the three things he was dealing with in the past, success of the past. The success of our past has a way of keeping us on the same spot. You can build an altar. Your testimony, things that God has done, you can build an altar around it and become a preaching object for 10 years. And careful listener will say, has not God done something in your life currently? You are throwing a party on things that is on the past. You say, there are things that God has done. Fantastic things he's done in my life. He said, but no, I forget it. Not only that, he forgets his failure. I like that. You see what he said here? He said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Things that are behind, inclusive of his mistakes and failure. He made mistakes. We all made mistakes. And he's saying to us there, he said, I forget even my failures. As a minister of God, he must have had some failings. He must have some weakness. But he said, I forget. I forget the good. I forget the bad. And one thing that I know he does there, you know, from this expression again, is that he learned to repent of his mistakes and he moved ahead. And so he learned to deal with his past. Forgiveness. He will forget the past successes. He will forget the past failures. He didn't have time to regret. A lot of us, our lives are held down by regrets of the past mistakes. The devil make you to focus on those regrets. But for him, he will repent and he move forward. Learn to forgive yourself. Sometimes God has forgiven you. Do you understand that? Learn to forgive yourself. Your past mistakes, your past concerns, your past failures. He said, those are the things I learned to overcome. And so he learned to deal with the past. So the way to focus is to deal with the past. And the way to focus again is to deal with the present. See what he said here. He said, brethren, I cannot myself to have apprehended. That is the spirit of humility. He said, I live today with humbleness, with humility. I accept the fact that I'm not there. A lot of us Christians, we don't accept our vulnerability. We don't accept our vulnerability. A lot of us, we want to live like macho. You want to do as if you can do everything. You know everything. No, Paul is not doing that. He said, I know I'm vulnerable. And so I humbled myself before God. Accept that I'm a work in progress. Accept that I'm not there yet. Accept that I don't know it all. If I knew it all, I would not pursue after him. Accept that I don't have all the revelation. If I had all the revelation, I would not seek after him. And so he faces today with a lot of humility. He handled yesterday with a lot of forgetfulness. I let go. But today that I have, I'm humble. I sit before him. I want him to teach me. I want him to speak to me. I hold my today. Let's see what the Bible says. It said, today I must learn to grow. Ephesians 4:15. Let me read that place gradually. And I begin to come to an end. Ephesians chapter 5. And see what the Bible says. 4:15, brother. 4:15. It said, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him. Can you see that? We may grow up into him. I'm not there yet, but I'm growing up to him in all things. Not in one thing, not in one aspect, not in one area, in all things. So that I can be him. I want to be all Christ is. What a tall order. I want to be all Christ is. If Paul claimed that he had room to grow, what about us? What about you? If he's saying that I can still grow, what about you? Must get commitment to growing. And so, he fixed his eyes on the price. Three ways, like I said to us. One of the ways is the past. One of the ways is handle the present. And then he says something about the future. And I like this attitude. What I want us to see is the attitude about the future. It's not the future itself. He said, I press toward the mark for the high calling. Regarding the future, he said, progress is needed. When we dwell on the past, we many times become distracted and discouraged. A lot of us are discouraged of life. I like what Brafen was saying the other time, hope. A lot of people have lost hope. The young lady that saw Waheg Resort and Jam Resort and commit suicide, hope was taken. When you see people go into depression, even though we look for medical name for it, the source of depression is hopelessness. And hope is a spiritual thing. The doctor, we have to call it a name. When you see people commit suicide, it is hopelessness. The devil took hope from them. And can I say this to us? I said this to us before. I said that faith will begin from hope. If you are not hopeful of tomorrow, you can't walk in faith. He said, I face tomorrow. When we dwell on the past, we can't distract, we can't discourage. We have a lot of discouraged Christians in church today. When you talk to them about healing, they don't see it. They are discouraged. They say, I believe God. When you talk to them about prosperity, they don't see it because they are discouraged. When you talk about tomorrow will be better, they don't see it because they are discouraged. It's a demonic thing. It is demonic. We say to them that don't worry, even at your age, you will have your own husband. He said, when? It's demonic. And say, you are going to have a job. And say, will it happen? It's demonic. But God is in the business of blessing his people. Just this last week, one of us came to me. He said, I have a job. She's been struggling for years, but now he has a job. There's a job. If you do not lose hope, you will get it. Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before. I follow after, and I like that. You see, I want you to use the, see the word. He said, I press, follow after, I press towards the mark. You have a lot of resistance. You have a lot of adversity. He said, I follow. Not only that, I want you to see the intensity that he's talking about here. In the walk and the race of purpose, there must be intensity. In the walk and race of purpose, not only there must be intensity, there must be quickness. Praise God. In other words, you cannot run purpose at the time you want to wake up. Did you get that? If you're a civil servant, you resume at it, isn't it? The same way, purpose. Purpose comes with some intensity. Purpose comes with some quickness. Lack of better word. Promptness. You don't do your purpose at the time you like to do it. Like some of us, the way we live our lives, we procrastinate. We leave things undone. Purpose is not left undone. You can see from what he's saying here, I run with intensity. He had a great desire to reach spiritual goods. What was he doing? When you see Paul that is moving, when you see Paul that wakes up at 1 a.m. to read the Bible, you see Paul that goes out to do evangelism, when you see Paul that goes, you know, to visit some churches that he started, when you see Paul, you know, gathering his children and talking to him, when you see Paul that a prophet was saying that don't go, he said, I'm going. You see a man that is running to win the prize. The way we live our lives, do we live like there's a prize in focus? Do we do like that? We come late to church. Things you cannot dare do where you collect your salary. You come late. Midweek service, let us come. You come how you want to come. No. Paul. If you want to be that minded, you know, he said to us, let us be thus minded. If you want to be that minded, there's urgency to purpose. That's the right word. Not quickly. There's urgency to purpose. In other words, there's a price. And I want to get to the line. A lot of us are not like that. Christianity carries with it urgency. You know what God said to the prophet? He said, after you deliver the message, he said, go. Don't rest, though. He said, run. If anybody talks to you, don't answer them, oh. The foolish prophet, when he was running, he met a bigger prophet. He said, oh, no, little Benye. A lot of us are like that prophet. There's no urgency. There's no test. There's no fire. You do when you want to do. Like I was fighting with some people. Do you understand? You know, I told one of my people, you know, she's not here, she's there. You know, she said, I read my Bible in the lake on phone. You read Bible on phone at home? You can never read Bible. As a matter of fact, you are not reading Bible, you are reading WhatsApp. Only pastor is Bible, I say it's WhatsApp. When you are reading that and the WhatsApp come and say, hey, what about me? What about you? Money, that's your lola. Oh, Nisari, where we go, my lord? Church again, say, don't read Bible or on your phone. Much more house. You can't read Bible. That means there's no urgency. Some of us just think Christianity is while in a way time. Or I'm a Christian, so I must be a Christian. Christianity is a race. It's not a walk, it's a race. Lackadaisical attitude is not allowed. This attitude we have is not allowed. This way of life is not allowed. Even take for granted. Forget everything I'm saying. We are going to the same heaven where we see with the same Paul. You know that's you think heavens are true? I want a person lost heaven. I want not lost heaven. Tell him about lost heaven. Heaven a person let me know. Hey, wake up. We are going to the same place that this man is. I hope when we get to heaven, Olorun ni joko bayi awa kan o ri Olorun yen nisin o o tun dorun gan o ri. You sit where you see CCTV lo ma fi ri Olorun o ri laye o tun dorun CCTV lo o ri pe is done for overflow o dorun overflow lo lo wa. You better do something that Olorun joko sori te bayi di give me mo wa bayi. Don ba ni who has question? I ask question. Olorun Jesu kilo sele mo wasu 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 awon mo yin o gbo kilo Olorun aso fun e pe ah mo worry ko e wo stupid man yen olowo yen so mo pe eyin o na wasu wasu ngo dorun lo ni ka pada sinu aye won wasu kun ko gbo ma tun ni eh awon ton je Christian ton lorun gan yen ko dem ma tun ni eh awon kan won dirun ninu church ti e mo tin se fun yo ni eh eja lo le continue next week ladies and gentlemen. We need to change our attitude. You don't have all the time. You don't have all the time. You don't have all the time. Ladies and gentlemen, you are running against time. You are not running against anybody, but you are running against time. Incidentally, time is not in your hand. That's where the danger of it. Can I have the keyboard? You know that if time is in your hand, you can stop it. The ingredients that you need to get the price, they are not in your hands. Do you know that? Your time is not in your hands. Your life is not in your hands. You know the only thing that is in your hand, and that is what I want you to do this month. The only thing that is in your hand, your choice. That's the only thing. Time is not in your hands. May your time not be done now. Tolomba lo ti ya. O ti ya. Ladies and gentlemen. And I tell you one of the things. Tofi de te man ya. I don't know any other thing. No, but one of the things. Tofi de te man ya. Is what I'm talking to you now. If purpose is not discovered, you take it. But all can be laying on journey now. I need the seat. I just come on board. He am alone. He leaves on the seat. If your life is unprofitable, God will give the chance to another neighbor of yours. Get me well. God will leave the call. He will leave the gifts. Because he said, my call and gifts are without repentance. But you see what God will do? He will replicate you exactly you. You walk out the call and the gift. Oh, one bell. But he will replicate. That's all. You just find out your life has become a fan that is switched off. Oh, you roll. But you still come to an end. Olorun wa wa turn on a new fan. Yo mo fa fefe. E jo mo fe lo na ni o. Ngo ba yo kan ri pe. Ele mo nlo le. The only thing that is in your sakani is your choice. And I want you to make that choice this month. I want you to make a choice to serve. I want you to make a choice to serve. I'm not saying make a choice to be born. I know you are born again. But make a choice to discover and to run your race. The church is full of people that are wayward, people that are not busy, people that are full of excuses. In all these things here, there's no room for an excuse. I will round up this message next week by God's grace. There's no room. There's no excuse. In everything Paul has said there, go say excuse. Don't. What is put here is sin banjo matele Jesus. Toto banro matele Jesus. That's what he's saying here. Some of us a little rain. You understand? Some of us a little discomfort. Alami o jami wa church. Ibo lo fe watare yan ba ya. Church na ko ni. When I have issues, whether I do like this, I get to his presence. When you are terribly sick, you get somebody to take you to an hospital. Because I know when I get to his presence, his word will deliver me. His word will heal me. His word will liberate me. Make a choice, a hard choice. Ladies and gentlemen, Christianity is not for the weakness. It's not for double-minded people. Christianity is not for people that don't know where they are going. Christianity is for serious people. Discover purpose and run it. Whether you are a youth, you are listening to me. This it concerns you. I discover purpose age 19. Age 19. So, praise God. Whether you are young, whether you are old, some will discover very late, some will discover very early. If you discover very early, congratulations. Because you have your way and you have your life set out. Can you please bow down heads? Speak to God. Make choices. Make commitments. Make choices. Make commitments. I don't know what your commitment is. You are the one that know the race you need to run. I don't know. I might even be saying thank you now. But you know in your heart that you haven't started the race. I'm speaking even to the ministers here. Make choices this morning. Make choices. Being called a minister is not enough. Running the race is it. And speaking to all the ministers, the choir, the ushers, the sanctuary cleaners, our media team. I was telling them, media people, you know, you can't be waiting for free bus. You have to come here hardy and set. Those are hard choices. Those are hard choices that you need to make. Those are hard choices. Workers will be here 8:30, want to pray for 30 minutes. Those are hard choices you need to make, ladies and gentlemen. That's Christianity. When those choices are not made, you are not a Christian yet. You are born again. Speak to God. Speak to God. This one life you have, this one opportunity that you have, just one life. This one life is one opportunity. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You want to be born again? On your seat, flip your hand, let me see it. You say, I want to be born again. I don't want to miss out. Somebody that wants to be born again. I don't want to miss out. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. I have decided.
desire to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
No turning back. No turning back.
Christian call is a higher call. It's not an ordinary call. It is a higher call. It's a call that you must give everything to it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, make us better. Lord, make us better. Lord, turn us. We make a choice this morning that you turn us. We make a choice this morning that you mold us. Deal with our excesses. Deal with our distractions. Things that take us away, make us lose focus. Please deal with them. We surrender our life to you so that we use you for your purpose. This one life we have, please take it. Let it mean to you. Let it mean a lot to you. This one life. Please, Lord, take it. Take it on the altar and let it be used for your glory. I have decided
to follow Jesus.
I have decided.